I pledge to you that if I'm confirmed as Attorney General, the Justice Department will meet its special charge. Injustice against individuals will not stand. No ifs, ands, or buts, period.
John Ashcroft of Missouri making his case to be confirmed as Attorney General of the United States at Senate confirmation hearings on Tuesday. Dan Shore joins us. Morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And, of course, this pre-inaugural week was mainly taken up in the business of government with the cabinet choices. And how has President-elect Bush fared? What's the scorecard?
Well, pretty well. All 14 cabinet members and cabinet-level people seem to be on their way to confirmation by the Senate either today or the latest next week. I think their only mishap was the withdrawal of Linda Chavez from consideration as Labor Secretary, but she basically shot herself in the foot by concealing from the Bush transition team that she had had an illegal alien living with her. There were two others considered to be controversial because of their previous policy positions. There was Gail Norton for Interior and John Ashcroft, whom we just heard, for Justice. But they seem to have survived some rather vigorous going over by the committee Democrats. Apparently, the Democrats at this point are still wanting to give a chance to bipartisanship.
Well, let me follow up on Mr. Ashcroft specifically, though, because you had a dramatic appearance this week
by
Missouri Supreme Court Judge Ronnie White, who said that he believed Senator Ashcroft had distorted his record by calling him pro-criminal.
Standing off and looking at the Ashcroft nomination, I find something very interesting. I think what it reflects is a great divide in America. And on one side of this divide, you find, in general, well-off people, religious people, white people. On the other side, secular people, minority people, feminist people, and poor people. The president-elect had a big choice to make. He could pay off on an IOU to the Christian right, which has been unhappy about some of his appointments, or he could try to gain some ground with African Americans, who in general have been very much opposed to him in the election. He chose quite deliberately the poster boy of the religious right. If there's anything about the hearings that registered with minorities, it was simply seeing Judge Ronnie White charging Ashcroft, as you reported, with distorting his record. You know, there is a black Secretary of State, Colin Powell. There's a black National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice. But they deal with foreign countries. And what blacks perceive is that those who deal with black problems are not very pro-black.
What do you think are going to be the first issues on President Bush's agenda as he comes into office?
Well, the word is that he wants to establish some momentum rather quickly, and so I think he'll move as early as Tuesday, I think, to submit a bill on education, and soon thereafter a tax cut bill. And I don't know what comes after that.
Yeah, well, any idea what the bill on education is going to provide for? Been the cornerstone of his campaign, after all.
Yes, indeed. And the campaign speeches are reflected in the program that's going up to the Hill. Every child should learn to read by third grade. There should be penalties exacted on failing schools. And there should be vouchers, although the word voucher is not mentioned, something about payments to facilitate school choice. And have I mentioned that after then, very soon, I think, that he's going to come with a big tax cut?
Proposal. Well, you haven't mentioned it until today, or until this moment today, but you've mentioned it fast, and he certainly has. The venerable John McCain says he wants to make campaign finance reform the first order of business of the Senate.
That's right, and the president Bush was going to try to stop him from doing that too fast, at least. There's a meeting set between President Bush and John McCain next Wednesday, and the idea is to try to talk McCain out of trying to force action on campaign reform as the first order of business in the Senate. And I think he'll ask McCain to wait a couple of months while they try to work out a compromise. McCain is reportedly wary of something called poison pills, that is to say, amendments that in effect would help to defeat the purpose of McCain-Feingold, which is to ban soft money. So how that is going to go, I do not know. And it's very interesting that the first test of power between the president and the Congress will come not with Democrats, but with his sometime friend John McCain.
Let me ask about President Clinton's last week in office. White House announced yesterday that he'd struck a deal with the independent prosecutor to avoid indictment.
Right, and that was one of the few big stories I've seen lately that didn't leak in advance. Everybody was very surprised yesterday afternoon. And also one of the few recent political settlements that seemed to make everybody happy. You know, clearly, President Clinton is happy about it. Robert Ray, seems to think he got what he wanted. And even President Bush must be happy that he will not have to face questions for the next 6 weeks about whether or not he plans to pardon Clinton. It's interesting to contemplate that the two Clintons, which we saw during these past 8 years, we continue to see up to the very end. There is the upper Clinton, who talks of presiding over an era of great American renewal in his little farewell speech on Thursday night. And Friday afternoon, there's a lower Clinton who cops a plea to avoid indictment for having concealed the truth about his sexual affairs. Two Clintons.
Yeah. Well, three, if we count the senator now, that we're going to have to keep track of.
Right.
A quick question. In that speech on Thursday night, the president talked about fiscal responsibility. He rather sounded like a Republican lecturing an incoming Democratic administration, at least in the old days. Was this aimed at the incoming president?
Yeah, I think I put it very well. It really did seem as though much of his 10-minute speech was subtly or not so subtly aimed at the new president. He talked about economy breaking records, not a whiff there of the recession that Bush has been talking about. People look to us as a force for peace. Translation, don't pull troops out of the Balkans too fast. The global poverty gap requires more than compassion, it requires action. You know, you think of farewell speeches passed from George Washington, who warned against permanent alliances, and Eisenhower, who warned against the military-industrial complex. And it is kind of a shame that Clinton's farewell might be better remembered if not immediately followed by the plea bargain.
He said his days of service aren't over. He could be a factor in public life for the next 20, 30 years. What do you see in Bill Clinton's future?
Well, some of this is speculation, I guess. He clearly intends to run the Democratic Party. He's taking control of that. He apparently will have to make a lot of money, and I suppose he can do that by making speeches or writing a book or both of the above. But something tells me that when he says he has services yet to render, that either they're going to be in some form of elective office, perhaps, or that very soon he'll be out on television telling us all how President Bush is screwing things up.
Let me ask now about the Reverend Jesse Jackson. An American is important to a lot of citizens, who said this week he acknowledged he's fathered a child out of wedlock, and is paying for the child's support. Mm-hmm. There's some legal questions raised about Operation Push perhaps offering a portion of those payments. He counseled President Clinton during the impeachment crisis.
And he did some counseling himself. But I'll tell you, the only thing I can say about that, what I found very interesting, is that the Rainbow Push Coalition, which Jackson heads, is standing by him, urges him not to resign. The woman who bore his child had been on the staff of Rainbow Push, operating their office here in Washington. She was given $35,000 as a severance package. Now, can you imagine in any religious organization or a white organization or Christian right organization where they would say, listen, everybody makes a mistake sometime, please don't quit and we'll pay off the lady?
I'll have to think about that. Maybe the Reverend Jimmy Swaggart's organization. Okay, talk to you later.
Sure.
Dan Shore.